from the inner earth, so to speak, but the stream of lies, deceit, and deception that this company continues to throw the peons out here. Today it was exposed that BP was caught photoshopping a picture of their so-called crisis command center. What BS? Let's just change the name of the company right now and be done with it. Chris Landau has made a video, a number of them. He's been on talk shows. He's been in print. His articles and columns appear on opednews.com. He is a true expert in the field. He's South African by birth. He was a well driller down there. He's worked in oil fields on wells in the States here. He knows of which he speaks. And this thing, obviously, if you listen to the YouTube video at Rents.com and the oil box, I've held it up longer than any other because it's that good. I'll try and get the exact name for you so you can find it. I'll put Chris's name in front of it. It tells the story. I mean, he just lays it right out there. So let's go to California and say hello to Chris Landau. Hi, Chris. Thanks so much for being here tonight.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure. This company, like Halliburton, like Brown & Root, all the rest of them, why is it that all these major international power brokers lie through their teeth and mock the normal public? They just laugh at us. They pull this crappy Photoshop thing off this morning. It's absurd. Now we've got video that I'm just uploading of one of the ROVs driving through clouds of gas and oil coming up out of the sea floor. So if you would, Chris, let's step back and kind of get an overview through your mind and your eyes and your expertise about where we are. But if you would, before we do that, give us a little bit of your background so our listeners know that you're more than qualified to speak to these issues.
Well, I became a geologist a million years ago, 1980, and I did water well drilling for about 5 years and then did exploration for underground water using geophysics, using the Schlumberger method for geophysics. When I came to the United States in 2003, I worked on oil and gas rigs for a year and a half, logging on about 70 wells here and on about 50 high-pressure oil and gas wells.
Uh-huh.
We did
50 high-pressure oil and gas wells. All right, so this is right up your alley.
Yeah. So we drilled around here in California down to about 2.5 miles, 10,000-12,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And they were interesting in the sense of we were using 17, 18-pound mud weight, and it was high pressure. I worked on one where we had a bit of a blowout, and on others where they destroyed the formation and they lost the drilling mud down the well, and I spent 3 weeks on that. Well, luckily there wasn't any oil and gas in it, so they just destroyed the formation and kept losing the drilling mud down the well, similar to what has happened on this well, but where they've destroyed or blown out the formation on this well, they did have oil and gas, and that
right.
Kind of bitten them in the butt as it come up through the
Chris, when you say destroyed the formation, we've got a well here over 30,000 feet deep. How much of the formation has been destroyed? That's a tough question to ask because we really don't know without incredibly accurate seismic readings which go down 30,000 feet. But to your knowledge and your best guesstimate, how much of the geology has been ruined where this well bore has gone through?
Well, 30,000 feet is not what they're saying, as you know. They're saying the well's 18,350
feet. BS. It's way beyond that.
Okay. Well, anyway, what has happened is when they drilled the formation, when they drilled to get the oil and gas, they would have gone through about 30 to 50 horizons of oil and gas on the way down to their final depth. And as they went down through these, they would have got various kicks of oil and gas at different depths, say at, say, 12,000, 13,000, 14,000, whatever.
Right.
And those are the many horizons that people are not aware of that are also the poorest zones where the oil and gas is now being lost into those horizons. They overpressurized the drilling mud when they were drilling, so they made the drilling mud too dense for the well. so that it went out into the formation. The specific gravity might have been, say, 2.8 grams per cubic centimeter for the drilling mud, and their formation might have only been, say, 2.4 grams per cubic centimeter. So the drilling mud went into the formation and broke it up, shattered it, and also overpressurized the pore space, so it crumbled. Now, when you've done that, you can no longer seal a well because you've destroyed it. You've made it too porous. It's a bit like a sieve or like a car tube tire. But a tube in a car tire that's got, say, about 50 holes in it, and you're trying to seal that. So the directional wells that they're drilling now to so-called seal the well won't work either.
Right.
So we've got a blown-out formation. We've got a ballooned-out well, which means it's been hollowed out by the drilling process and all the drilling mud during the process when they were drilling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to seal ever. So they have to actually put in 8 relief wells around the well to
do that's your solution. Yeah, that's your proposition. Put in 8 relief wells to go into the shattered formation and start to extract the oil that is obviously still coming up and will continue to come up and fill in these shattered cavities. Now, my question, is that correct, what I just said?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. The idea of relief wells, one is a backup and one is supposed to do the job. They're down at 15,000 feet. They tried to get below, obviously, where most of the damage, the geological damage, in their estimation, occurred. That's what they're hoping to get to, a depth where the integrity of the wellbore is still substantial enough where they can somehow pinch it off, kill it, or put a shaped micro nuke in there to allegedly fuse the geology. Now, what I'd like to... Yes, okay. Go ahead and tell us why.
Well, once you've blown out a formation, you've now got a very porous zone. It's hugely porous, and you can no longer seal it. So when you pour in, you come in with your new drill hole into this porous zone. Instantaneously, as you intersect the new well, all the drilling mud you've got in your existing pipe disappears into this porous zone, and you're now left with a probable second blowout that will happen on your well that you're drilling to solve the problem, because you cannot, the drilling mud cannot be kept in an over-porous zone. It's like pumping it into a vacuum.
Well, it's like a big block of Swiss cheese. There are apparently holes and caverns and cavities everywhere.
All lost. Instantaneously, it's just all lost.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the idea of a relief well going down 15,000 feet, angling over, not 90 degrees, but certainly angling over to 60, 70 degrees, and intersecting a 22-inch in diameter casing with the wellbore inside seems to me to be like an awful long shot. And if they do get right onto that pipe, they're going to apparently attempt to go inside of it to open it up. Can you explain that to people, please, what their alleged plan is supposed to do and how it's going to work?
Well, the plan's not going to work, so I can't explain it to anybody.
Well, there you go.
It doesn't even make any sense to me, so I can't even begin to explain it. You can only work on a situation where you can only kill a well if you're keeping the oil and gas pressure out of the well. That means you've got a well that you've drilled. It's got a good stability. It's got an integrity. Its structure is sound and as you're pushing your drilling mud down, you can keep the gas and the oil out in the formation because you can create enough back pressure to push it out. Once you've destroyed that whole structure, you cannot bring in another hole into a destroyed structure and try and seal it. It doesn't work.
So it's all, again, BS.
I can't explain it. Sorry, you're going to have to explain it to me.
Aha. So, okay, it's absurd. It's another ruse is all it is. I think that, honestly, these so-called relief wells are being used to the ultimate fallback will be a shaped nuclear detonation down there, which is even more insane, which we'll talk about with Chris Landau in just a couple of minutes. This man is the best of the best in terms of analytical overviews of geology and this whole petrochemical, as it is, nightmare, hydrocarbon nightmare ultimately, and all the VOCs and everything else. Remember when they said the other day, we got a break here, but that
sure.
methane was confirmed to be bubbling up 3 kilometers away, and they said there was no relation whatsoever to this?
Right.
Who believes anything BP says anymore?
Nobody.
Nobody. I don't know anybody. Be right back with Chris in just a minute. Okay, right back with you and Chris Landau. When they talk about the bubbles, by the way, there is still a press blackout. They're not letting the press into that area. 3 kilometers away, bubbles. It sounds like, a few bubbles. It could be a 30 or 40-yard wide area where it's a foaming sea of bubbles. We don't know. They're not telling us. They're not about to tell us. If we can, Chris, I'd like to go down with you geologically, starting at a mile deep, and what that subsea floor strata, in fact, is like, what the formations are like, compared to land. Is it just the same as land, but underwater, or is it different under the sea?
Well, it's different for every well that you drill, but I have not logged in the Gulf of Mexico, but assuming it would be the same as most places, you would have layers of siltstone, layers of mudstone, layers of limestone, and alternating layers of these. So when you get into the ones that are porous and usually calcareous, porous sandstone, that's where you find most of your oil and gas in those zones.
Right.
And those are the ones that would be producing the oil. But one must remember that we are dealing with probably 30 to 50 horizons, some of them 2 inches or 6 inches thick, some 20 feet thick. And please don't picture it as one horizon of oil and gas at the bottom. When I logged on all my oil wells, I came along from university with some sort of concept of a single reservoir and a single layer of gas above the oil. That's not how it works. You've got at least, as I've said, on a well of this depth, 30 to 50 horizons of oil and gas, separate horizons, each of their own pressure. And so when they talk about sealing this particular layer, I always ask, what layer? I've been asking for the last 3 months to show us the mud log, show us the geological logs that they did for the well, and I've yet to see any. And so I would love somebody to tell me that they have access to the geological mud log, and we can all analyze and solve the problem instantaneously.
Oh, don't hold your breath. they're not about to let that out. So
yeah.
It's interesting. When he talks about horizons, he's talking about, obviously, formations, layers, in which each has its own particular configuration of oil and or gas. They're all different. It's like just layer after layer after layer in a sandwich. It just keeps going. Some are thicker, some are thinner. This is an issue of the magnitude of it is just not known by most people. And what I'm trying to get across to people, if they went down 30,000 plus feet, which is the common now, if they went down 18,000 feet, I don't know. They're not telling us.
Yeah.
We do know that Schlumberger, or Schlumberger, as some people pronounce it. I knew one of the Schlumberger family members, but they got their engineers off just hours before. They had been having trouble with this well since last February. It was a rough well. What do you call a well that bucks and has trouble and doesn't go smoothly?
Well, then you're dealing with a situation where you're not monitoring your mud weight. They were messing around on this well. Well, the formation was very brittle and broken, and they overpressurized the well. They put in a mud density, as they call it, a mud weight, that was too dense for this well. So when they, at the commission or the hearing on the 28th of May, they had lost thousands of barrels of mud down this well. And when it doesn't go smoothly and you're losing your drilling mud down the well, that's a disaster, because your formation is too brittle, it's too broken, and you no longer have any control on that well. And the only thing that's going to save you is your blowout preventer, and their blowout preventer wasn't there to save them this time. So I call it a mess. When you you must seal a well. If you start blowing out the formation and losing the mud down the well, that's when you plug and abandon that well instantly, because you're just going to end up with a mess.
And they didn't do it. They kept right on going.
They did, and that was a stupidity deluxe.
Okay, now, the BOP, and I didn't know this. I mean, here we think of America as an oil pioneer, drilling science and all that, experts. They sent that original BOP to China for retrofitting and tuning up. And the story I read said it's common to send BOPs to China for rebuilding, reconfiguring, whatever. Did you know this?
I know nothing about those. I never dealt with them, or whether they sent to China or not. All I know is that I read that the thing that was badly serviced and needed servicing and was leaking, and it seems like chaos that they were running something like this with a blowout preventer from the local junkyard, which seems to be the case.
Well, and they had sent it to China, according to the story I read, for repair and refurbishing, which I guess goes along with a lot of Chinese products these days that come back here to the West. Not the best of workmanship. One wonders. All right, this is all very interesting. What you're hearing from Chris Landau is, and we're working up to this, we're going to do a break here again, come back with a long segment. The geology, potentially, down to 30,000 feet, not in one totality, but certainly in multiple places, has been destroyed and caved in. There are big pockets, there are probably caverns. We don't know what they look like. Chris would know. But this is a mess. This is not something that a relief well is going to help. Chris's proposal again, which you've seen in the video at rents.com, geology destroyed, new cap won't stop seabed leaks. I'm going to relaunch that with Landau in front of it, so you'll all see it. It's not going to happen. They're not going to pull it off. Chris is proposing at least 8 wells to be drilled into this shattered geology, these various horizons that have been compromised, to begin to pull the oil and gas out and keep the pressure under control. One well, one relief well, blowout number 2. Be right back with Chris Landau in just a couple. Okay, back to Chris Landau. All right, so the BOP lies continue. The relief wells, forget it. They, I guess, took a shot and said, well, let's go 15,000 feet. We'll get underneath all the damage. There's no way. Can they know for sure, Chris? There's no way to know, is there?
No, the business of being underneath all the damage is a joke to begin with. If you had a car tire, again, I always use that analogy.
That's a great analogy,
right.
Yeah.
You make, say, 50 holes in the car tire, and you've got to you put to connect your hose to blow up the tire to the valve, and you start pumping air in. Doesn't matter where you pump that air in, what section, is it the middle or the top, or whether the valve's at the top or the bottom of the tire, the 50 holes are there in the tire, and the drilling mud is just going to leak out those holes. At the moment, the oil and gas is leaking out those holes. We should be getting 17,000, so I've worked out 16,682 pounds per square inch pressure out of this well, just based on a 17-pound mud weight. That's
really?
The sort of that I worked on these 10,000, 12,000-foot wells, and this one's at least 18,000 feet deep,
so
we should probably have even higher. So they say they're reporting 6,800. And there's basically 10,000 pounds per square inch missing, because that's what they had when they were drilling. So it's now missing, and it's going into the formation and causing the bubbles and the oil that are coming up in the fracture around the well.
So the new cap is pushing back, and that 10,000 PSI is not being exerted on the new cap. It's just blowing off laterally
into
the formations.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Now, if these lunatics put a shaped nuclear charge or any kind of an explosive in there, and the idea that they've got these advanced technologies, which the Pentagon is saying, that's a big secret, that can light off and achieve temperatures as hot as the surface of the sun, and apparently in nanoseconds or less, instantly fuse everything. That's their big game plan. And that's still on the table. It's not viable, it's not possible, because of all the fractures and all the failures in the geology to do that. There's not enough material in many places to be involved with that. It just wouldn't work for a variety of reasons.
Won't work.
Okay. Now, this well, if it is 30,000 feet, could have caused the same kinds of geological damages all the way down. If they were to blow something off in shattered geology, what is likely, potentially, to happen, Chris Landau?
Well, when you think of these fusing things, most people have this idea of the fusing of the desert sands when they did their initial atomic bomb blast, and all you do is you might fuse a bit of the loose sand to be a couple of inches thick.
Yeah, when it was a tiny amount.
Blast, when you let off a bomb blast, you actually break things. I've never known of a decent bomb blast or a bomb blast that didn't break, shatter, break, and smash everything to pieces. Bombs don't seal. They just make bigger cracks and add to the destruction. So I cannot buy, even in thought capacity, using an atomic bomb or any sort of normal bomb to seal anything. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I've heard it said, but bombs don't break. Don't seal. They smash everything to pieces.
All right. So if we've got a few seeps now, and they're talking about two, maybe three, there could really be 10 or 20. There could be more popping up each day, correct?
Yeah.
And in point of fact, the geology and the PSI suggests that would have to happen, does it not?
Yeah. Yes, it will happen. So as I said, there's a missing 10,000 PSI, which they had when they were drilling. They were working with at least a 17-pound mud weight and possibly as high as 20. Mm. So there's at least 10,000 pounds per square inch missing, and that's just going out into the formation. So it's going to crack the formation more, create more funneling with the oil and gas through the formation, wear things out more, and erode things away like a high-pressure hose until you've got more destruction and you've got more oil and gas coming up next to the well and in the surrounding fractures around the well. It's just one big ongoing disaster.
The amount of oil that actually reached the surface is said to be between 1 and 3%. 97% or thereabout is deep underwater. The dispersant kept it down. There are enormous plumes of oil down there. Some people are projecting 140-mile-wide plumes, lakes of oil that have been mixed with this Corexit, maybe other dispersants. I don't know. But it's not the same. The super tanker, the super skimmer, could not skim the oil because of what the Corexit had done to it. That's why that big ship didn't work. The Taiwanese investor was furious. This is a story I read that did not make much news. They couldn't get the ship to work because the oil wasn't as it usually is. It had been compromised with the chemicals in the dispersant. So that's another thing. Now, if they light off any kind of an explosive, we all have vivid images of the alleged casing and wellbore spewing gas and oil out. You could multiply that by 100 or 1,000, potentially, if there is a massive cave-in which allows access to the mother load of VOCs, methane, oil, all the gases that are down there, hydrogen sulfide, this could be a world-changing event far beyond that which we have already projected. Is that a fair and safe estimate?
Well, I think it's going to get worse and worse as more oil and gas comes up to the surface through the fractures.
That's a given, but if they blow it with something...
Gulf of Mexico being a big mess for a long time with all the oil and gas they've released.
Yeah, that's a given, Chris, but if they blow it...
In a way, really.
I'm sorry, we're breaking up a little bit here. Go ahead, please. Did we lose Chris? Yeah, he couldn't hear me, and the line dropped off. But we'll get him right back. Keep in mind that any kind of an explosion, as he said very articulately, will potentially cave in the whole thing. To one degree or another, it doesn't matter. And then you've got a massive amount of material coming up that would dwarf that 22-inch casing that we saw, which is now capped. And I don't know if anyone is already in a position to have made a decision to do this, but as you heard Chris say, no way that Relief Well is going to perform as they're pretending to try to describe. All right, we'll be right back in just a couple minutes with Chris. Hang on. Okay, and we're back with Chris Landau. All right, Chris, so any kind of an explosion of any variety, any type, any shape, any size, could cause a massive cave-in, which could... We remember the pipe, 22 inches, with gases and oil billowing out of it, allegedly up to 50, 60, 70,000 PSI. I don't know that to be a fact. That was never confirmed, certainly not confirmed by BP. But what could result... In addition to the natural seeps, naturally, from the damages that have been done to the earth are going to be coming up, this could be an absolute catastrophe. If they open the door to that major, massive, somebody calculated it and projected it to be the size of Mount Everest down there of gas and VOCs and oil, it could continue for years. And decades, and who knows?
It also depends on one other interesting thing, which nobody seems to bother to do, and that's whether this oil is renewable new oil or is it old oil? Is it abiotic oil or is it just the normal biological oil that they speak about? You know, the eastern side, the Russians from 1950 onwards developed chemical equations and developed the good thermodynamics to predict that all oil is actually created abiogenically or inorganically, and there are two processes that I presented in my papers to the American Institute of Professional Geologists in October last year, where one categorically states that oil, gas, and coal is all inorganic, and if it is inorganic and being produced from formation, so basically the two syntheses that produce oil are the Fischer-Tropsch process, like the one that they use in South Africa, where they produce 30% of the country's gasoline out of carbon monoxide and water vapor, which they get, and so they produce 30% of the country's gas there, and that was developed by the Germans in the 1920s and used in the Second World War by them when they couldn't get to the oil fields in Turkey and Russia. They had to produce their own gasoline, so they took carbon monoxide and water and pressurized this and made their own gasoline. And the other process is called the Wurtz synthesis, and this takes two metal compounds, stitches them together to form an ethane, and they stitch together with another metal to form a propyl compound and a butyl and a pentyl, and so you get to hexyl and cyclohexyl compounds. So you can make oil, gas, and coal inorganically from calcareous formations, carbon dioxide, and methane gas to make all the petroleum compounds you like. And I believe that most oil and gas is young. It's 5 to 50 to 100,000 years old, and it's being made right now. So if it's being generated right now in the presence of hydrogen sulfide in large fracture zones, you're not going to be able to stop this because it's being generated all the time.
Right.
And so your deep wells are a real problem because you're tapping into the areas where it's being generated. So there's no such thing as we're going to deplete it. You're not going to deplete it because it's being formed all the time.
Correct.
And that's a major problem that nobody's tackling and nobody's dating the oil. I would love 5 universities to go in and date the oil because they'll find it young.
I believe you. I believe it's almost in a precursor state to what we normally withdraw from surface or not very deep oil fields, which in many cases are actually replenished over the years. They pump down to nothing, and the earth sends up more oil. That's just a natural process. It's pushed to the surface, and they're all of a sudden rich with oil again.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're just going down to the deeper areas where it's being made now. Beforehand, they were getting oil out of the areas where it had percolated. So oil is buoyant, it's lighter than water, it moves up through the rock formations, and they were getting the shallow stuff, not in the zones of 2 miles and further down where it's being made. Now they're getting to the areas where it's being made, and it's much more difficult to control. By the way, on drilling with drilling mud, you can't work beyond 22,000 PSI because your drilling mud has to support the actual has to pressurize the gas. So people speak about 70 or 80,000. That's not possible because the drilling mud has to balance it, and you cannot get beyond 24-pound mud weight. And nobody speaks about 24-pound mud weight using barium hematite sulfate, iron sulfate to keep the oil and gas right down. So 22,000 pounds per square inch is an absolute maximum. Beyond that, you'd have to you couldn't work with drilling mud. You'd have to use some technology I've never heard of. Just to clarify that business, I know it's not nice because people love to pander these large numbers around. You could the drilling mud would be blown straight out of the ground, even probably mercury as your drilling mud would be blown out of the ground.
Interesting.
So, not possible. But 22,000 is enormous, and I'm looking at somewhere between 16, 17, and 22,000 is the absolute maximum pressure.
Well, 22,000 is so destructive in its force, people don't understand it. I have a little home pressure washer, 300 pounds PSI. It accidentally hit my finger. I didn't have a glove on, and it tore the top layer of skin off as if it was nothing.
I did the same thing.
Yeah, just 300 PSI.
Yeah.
That would
is unbelievable. It's so destructive, it'll tear with sand with you. It's like a laser beam. It just cuts up everything.
Well, what should they do? If you were in charge, what would you do right now? Pull that cap off?
The cap doesn't really matter whether it's there or not. That's not the solution. It's irrelevant. It's smoke and mirrors. It's making people feel happy about what they're achieving. People are focusing on the cap. That's not the solution. The solution is to drill the 8 relief wells. And if you start drilling one and it goes into a blown-out area of formation, fill it in instantly. Don't continue drilling with it. Start a new one and keep expanding that zone. I would start 1,500 feet away from an existing well. If that's too close, move out to 2,500 feet. Depressurize the zone. Let all the oil and gas out of that area and keep the oil and gas running until the pressure in that zone drops to 2,300 psi, which is the weight of seawater, and the seawater will keep it down. So you need to keep pumping and keep extracting the oil and gas from that area. Recognize that the well is destroyed. Forget it. Recognize it. It's not, it's everybody's fault. It's Halliburton, it's BP, it's Schlumberger, it's Transocean, it's all of them. They should all be sued from here to kingdom come. It's all of their fault. And just recognize it and forget it and move on and just do the thing that you can do, the only thing you can do, and that's depressurize the area.
Is anybody even talking about this beside you?
No, I don't see it at all. I think everybody's in a fool's paradise, in dreamland, in pretending this didn't happen, in, I don't know, conning themselves, conning each other. I have no idea. You tell me.
It's amazing.
I understand the mentality.
The human species is quite adept and adroit at denial. It's a national pastime now. Oh, the economy is recovering. Oh, don't worry. Oh, my. We're in trouble. This is only going to get worse and worse. More leaks by the day, in all likelihood. All of this blown geology now, do you think it's full or is it still filling? All these caverns and crevices and they call them seeps. They kept calling that an oil spill. They call these leaks seeps. My God, they're crazy.
They gushes.
Yes, of course.
Spills are from the top. You spill things from you spill your tea, you spill your cool drink, whatever. You don't spill anything. This is all gushing from the bottom. It's a stupid word, but that's what we use today.
Well, 40% of the Gulf may be covered with oil on the bottom now and these plumes. There's really no way to get rid of that. That's just there. This talk of this idiot Obama and his talk, his people, pull the cap off and let's recover the oil the way we were recovering it. Hell, only 1% of the oil ever made it to the surface. They weren't recovering anything.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
It's not going to work. That's a silly idea. It's past. We've got to move on and extract the oil from the whole area, depressurize it, and that's the only long-term solution.
And there's no way to eventually stop it. You're going to have to keep tapping it, correct, to equalize the pressure?
The oil is being generated right now, and the way to tell that is you date the oil. You date the oil every week.
Yeah.
If the oil is getting older, you know you're getting to old oil. If it's staying the same or getting younger, then then your oil is being generated right now.
Understand.
So it's a simple process. Get 6 universities involved.
Do you think that BP is doing this and not telling anyone, or do you think
they're not
going that far? Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, I can't get anybody to date the oil. I cannot get anybody to take this whole thing seriously. Perhaps the Russians have already done it, but I'm not. I don't find the literature there, and I'm going to spend more time on that, on dating the oil, because I think that would answer everybody's questions, what is really going on in the so-called scarcity of oil that they propagate around the world, that it's a fossil fuel that's running out. It looks great for making money, but it's all nonsense.
One of the biggest scams of our lifetime was peak oil, of course. It's just screwing the middle classes and everybody else with the supply and demand game and keeping the supply under control. It's nothing new. The old games. What we're dealing with here, ladies and gentlemen, is a crisis. And what you've just heard and what you're hearing from Chris Landau is common sense, which we have been woefully, virtually out of from day one. We're not getting any. Chris, thank you so much for being here tonight. Would you come back sometime and update us further?
Sure. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Take care.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay. Good night. Mr. Chris Landau, oil geologist, obviously a brilliant man. Common sense. When have you heard common sense in the mainstream media about this? You haven't. Not there. These people are playing with a catastrophe of unimaginable proportions if they carry on the way they're doing. And they will. All right, we'll be back with you again tomorrow night. See you in 21 hours.